Welcome to the Life After Kids podcast with Drs. Brooke and Lynn. We're getting real, raw, and vulnerable on all things midlife. We're sharing our friendship of over 20 years, and we're having honest conversations about our struggles and what it really takes to live a meaningful life after kids.
So brew your coffee or steep your tea and pull up a chair. Let's have a chat. Together, we'll rewrite the next chapter and show midlife who's boss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Life After Kids with Drs. Brooke and Lynn. I'm Dr. Brooke.
And I'm Dr. Lynn.
Thank you for joining us again this week, ladies.
We are talking this week about forgiving our parents. And, you know, this generation has been called the sandwich generation. Let's just start there. Did you know that?
You mentioned this to me the other day.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think it was one of our viewers that brought it to our attention. It's just one of the first generations that, you know, we're still raising and rearing kids, and yet many of us are taking care of our parents. And I think this is a great conversation to have because, gosh, not everybody has that uncomplicated relationship with your parents where, you know, there can be a lot of resentment. Not only do you not have time for yourself, but you're dealing with people who you have hurts and rejections from, and they may be in your home or they're taking up a lot of your time. And so trying to have a clarifying conversation around how can we work through some of that to let some of that go?
And why is it important?
And move beyond it, right?
Right.
Why is it important?
Well, and here's the thing for me. Like, I appreciate you bringing up the sandwich generation. And for sure, and we both have some experience there. For me, it was us. And I don't want to go into taking care of, because that's not what this conversation, I really want to stick to the forgiveness, but we have some experience there because we were primary caretakers for Ken's grandmother. So not my parent, but we're taking care of our kids. And then on the other side, we have an older person that can't care for themselves that we're also taking care of. But the reason I really wanted to have this conversation, and I'm going to ruffle some feathers here, but I think this is an important conversation. And don't mistake this, because issues that I've had with my family or with my parents are different. And some of us have things that are really hard to back out of, right? But just as a general rule of thumb, I feel like we throw around and we use this word toxicity so much that it can blanket over maybe things and allow us, like, we've lost the art of forgiveness.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And I feel like because of this buzzword toxicity, it can allow us to be unforgiving and give us a cover up for not addressing matters that we maybe could show a little more grace towards. Now, we all have different paths. Some of us have been abused. Some of us have, I'm not speaking to everyone here, but I'm just saying, can we take a deeper look at ourselves and the relationships we have with our parents or whoever it is and really start to pick apart? Can we, you know, how can we?
Yeah.
Saying
yes. And that's not my experience either. I'm not going to pretend I had a very traumatic, you know, awful things happening there. And forgiveness is not for that person. It's
and
for
that's
you.
The thing. And this is
right?
It.
So no matter what the situation or your situation is, and you need to come to terms with it, but we want to help shed a light on the forgiveness is for you and helping you move forward.
This is it. And I talk a little bit about this in the course the masterclass that I teach on stress management, because one of the things I talk through is forgiveness. Because for me, and you know me, Dr. Lynn, and I shared this with our audience, I have struggles with, or have had struggles with anxiety. I've ever overcome most of it. It still rears its head sometime, but I know how to keep it in check. But anxiety and some emotional things. And a big key to the missing puzzle, after I had done all of the physical things I needed to do, the diet changes, the exercise, the working with a functional medicine doctor, all the other things. One of the big missing pieces for me was this anger that I was holding on to, and these relationships that were left unresolved with family members and people that I loved that was just eating at me and causing me so much physical stress that I wasn't even aware of.
Yes.
And to your point, if you don't, it's not for the other person. It's not to make excuses for them. And sometimes you're not even, we're jumping right in here, but in a situation where you're going to get an I'm sorry, or they're even going to acknowledge. But if you can learn to get past and learn to forgive regardless, what it does for you and your own heart both emotionally and physically is, I think, is huge.
Yeah. Yes, because somebody may have hurt you, but if you continue to hold on to that, they're still hurting you, right? Versus you letting that go, learning to accept what is and forgiving, then that is when that stops, right? And back to just talking about, you know, because listen, we all have these gripes maybe, or we could focus on things that weren't the way that we want. Maybe you didn't have a father in the home, or maybe your mom left early, or that's just a couple examples. Maybe they were just personality conflicts, right?
There are
or
so many different
things that you just didn't agree with.
Right.
But we have that tendency. I agree with you. So there's, you know, you if you're on social media, it's like, you know, cut the people out of your life. And it's just this very sudden to me, like, easy solution in a way. Like, to me, the harder thing is to stick in that, see what's good, work through it. Because as a child, you weren't to blame. But as an adult, whatever's happening today, there's a piece you're playing into that somehow. Or there's a place that you do have control over.
It's true. And I do think that very often, you're so right.
Yep.
You hit the nail on the head when you said sometimes the easier thing to do is write them
just
off.
See
cut
you
them
later.
Out because it's for your own self-worth and your own self-care.
Yeah.
So just...
Except for that, well, your piece in it has to be resolved. Otherwise, it continues to rear its head in other relationships, right? You have to
and
see how you're
you
playing
that
into that and then work to heal that. So I love this. And I don't know if I made this up or if I... I read this somewhere.
You think there's a blurred line there for you sometimes.
Well, I read a lot and, you know, things stick. But when I was jotting these notes, I love this. It's you become a grown up. You become an adult the day that you realize your parents are just people who are flawed.
Yeah, you've said that to me before.
Who are flawed in their own way, right? Like, take a moment and just, I'll repeat that again. You become an adult the day that you realize your parents are just people who were flawed in their own way, right? Because we have this tendency, again, it comes back to what's your expectation? And when your expectation or what you, when you look around, you know, so-and-so had a mom who did this for her or a dad who was there for that.
Well, once again, the comparison.
Comparison, right? So when you prop your mom or your dad or whoever was raising you up against that ideal and it doesn't match up, that's where the frustration comes in. But, you know, that's outside of really any harmful behaviors. But the truth is, if you could just take a step back and get them off that pedestal and just look at them like they're just people. Think about when your kids were little and how some days it was just about getting through the day. Like, literally, if we survived, that was the best win that we could report, right? They are just people who were doing in most cases, unless they're bad people, that's outside
right.
of
and
this,
that,
right?
That's outside of
this conversation. If they were decent people, they were just people doing the best they could with what they had.
Well, here's the thing. And this is why one of the reasons this came up for me. Is because I found, and I did a post up on this, and I found an experience which I can share in my own life, and is that the older I get and the older my kids get, and the longer I've parented, the more grace I find I'm having for my own parents. Because things have come up for me as a mom that I feel shame, like, I don't want to say shame, but guilty about. Like, you know, you start, when your kid's launching out into the world, you ask those questions, did I do the right thing? Did I do enough? Could I have handled this situation better? You know, and you come to realize that you're not perfect. And the grace that you would want for yourself over that, at least for me, I start to see, man, I wish I had extended that grace. Like, I hope my kids aren't in therapy over me. I say that loosely and laughing, but listen, you know, I definitely have screwed up. I'm not perfect. But I would hope now as my kids are getting older that as they continue to grow, that they would give to me like the grace that I hope they'll give to me in the way they were raised. And once
well
again,
said.
We're not talking about like very abusive situations.
Yeah.
Is the grace that I could extend to my parents.
Yes. Well said.
And that's how it came up. And I'll tell you, if you don't mind me sharing a little story here.
Sure.
And we talked about this in a past episode about my oldest son going to college and month or two in, like having a big struggle and him calling me and us talking through it, but the angst I felt over that, and I ended up being more stressed than because for him, then it was like a week later and everything was puppies and rainbows again. But as a mom, right, we hold on to that because we want the best for our kid. And going through that, I mean, I had 2 weeks of really like just worrying about him and praying for him and checking in with him and did I say the right thing? Did I help him in the right way? And I ended up like after things blew over with Anthony, I called my mom. And I said, Mom, I'm calling to apologize to you for all the hell I put you through when I was growing up.
Did she fall off her chair?
She, well,
I mean,
I she, we laughed
figuratively.
about this. I think I told you because you were like, well, was she like, oh, it's okay, honey, like whatever. And she was like, thank you so much. I accept your apology. I didn't even get like it wasn't that
Paying for
bad.
it.
But I mean, here's the deal. We all go through the teen years. We all go through our 20s. Like we can, I know I was a lot and I had emotional struggles too. So, but I realized just in that little bit that I was doing with Anthony that, you know, whatever I could maybe in my mind blame on my parents, as we all do, we want to blame our parents for our mishaps and our things, that it had to have been really weighed heavy on her heart with the things that I struggled with and went through and watching that.
And
You
so
know,
you
so
just, yeah, your heart grew a little bit for her once she went through. I mean, I think that like my story is sort of the opposite. So with my parents, I kind of like maybe grew up with maybe it was the comparison side where it's like, oh, and I really did have a very, I had my mom and dad that stayed married until my dad passed away. You know, I didn't, you know, have to have, there was no divorce situation. They were a very loving couple on the front. They were a united front. So I now can choose to be very grateful for what I did have.
yeah.
But growing up, I think it was more like, oh, you know, and it was a pass the blame situation, right?
Yeah.
So it's easier to blame, oh, that was because I didn't have this, or they didn't do
Right?
this for
It's
me.
so true.
And it really comes down to, do you see yourself as quote unquote a victim, or do you see yourself as being in control of your life? And I think that's also a pivotal time in your maturity and in growing up, is the day that you accept responsibility for your own life, regardless of what's happened to you up until that
Right.
point.
When you start pushing the blame and start taking ownership.
Stop pushing the blame and start taking on ownership.
Yeah. And by the way, this is the thing. We can't, we speak about this with our kids, right? Longing for the past with them. We're not taking the past back. We're not going to go back to the past. We don't get a do-over. So to stay there and be upset about past transgressions or things that happened to you, it's not making today better. All it's doing is providing a toxic environment for you and a crutch and a reason to not make positive changes today. This is the thing. And I'll tell you when one of my life's biggest aha moments happened when I was listening. I was watching, I think it was a Tony Robbins thing. I think it was his documentary. I don't know if it's still on Netflix, and it's old
I love that
footage.
movie. I am your guru, or I'm not your guru.
So many moms in the Life After Kids community are seeking more purpose now that their kids are grown. But over and over again, we hear this one thing: I don't know where to start. That's why we created the Life After Kids Goals Framework and User's Guide. It's the one tool you need to design your new chapter, and it will show you where to start. The best part is it's free. Use the link go. lifeafterkids.com/goals-framework to get yours now. That's go.lifeafterkids.com/goals-framework. Let's get started redesigning our life today.
Yeah, and I mean, you may have mixed emotions if you know who Tony Robbins is, whatever the case may be, but he was talking with a girl in his audience, and I think she had had like it, she had a really rough situation, like an alcoholic father that was maybe either missing in action or sometimes something like that. And he was talking with her, and And once again, I'm not making light of anybody that's listening with these types of struggles. But whatever the case, he said to her, he went through this whole thing with her, and he said, if you can get to the place that life is happening for you, not to you, and when you can come to the place, because he had some hardships with his parents too, very big hardships. When you can get to the place where you had the parents you were supposed to have, and the parent that you had made you who you are,
and accept that,
and accept it, and make the best of it. And I was like,
right,
it knocked the wind out of me, really.
Yeah.
I mean, and the funny thing is, my brother had the same moment. We weren't together, but the same. We have since talked that it was such an aha moment for him too. That like, I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't have the strength and the gifts and the things that I have now had I not been raised, whatever it was, you know. And I was just like, life is happening for me, not to.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge mindset shift, a paradigm shift, right?
It is. It's a 5-degree, 360-degree shift, meaning like it's just a little pivot, but it takes you completely and faces you in a totally different direction. Right. And it's because, and we talk about this, and actually it can be, in some ways, if you choose to look at it that way, your past can be a gift, in the sense that so many people that I know that are very successful, very fulfilled, very happy in their life have taken the pain that they experienced and turn that into what has now become their purpose. So we have a very good friend who grew up, you know, broken home, out on the streets at 14, multiple stepfathers, abuse, alcoholism, you know, the works on that. And he, you know, met somebody at 14. He became, you know, involved in the church and eventually got on the right path. But he now gives like hundreds of thousands of dollars back to the shelter in our hometown. He and his family are just really great examples. And what he did was he took what he didn't have, and he channeled it and turned it into having a life that is meant to bless other people, right? And bless youth in that same situation. And what a beautiful thing. And his life's work is all about building relationships and getting to know people's stories, and just, you know, the empathy that you can have when you come from that place to have for others is a beautiful, bonding, empathetic, amazing place. Like, and if you were to meet him, you would see, like, he's just such a great person to be around.
Amazing.
Just no matter, right? No matter who you are, you feel like you're safe in his presence, kind of thing. So I guess I just, you know, if nobody's ever said that to you and you have come from a hard place, how can you turn that into a position of power for you, in that you can, instead of it controlling you, you can turn it around and use it to become your purpose. And we speak with women all the time who, you know, they're feeling lost. I mean, you're probably listening because you saw a post speaking to that. You don't know what your purpose is. You know, your kids are growing up. Like, what pain in your past? Maybe it wasn't the dramatic, huge story, but where did you experience the pain that you can now turn around and channel that into a way to contribute your strengths and gifts out to the world?
Yeah, it's so good. And I think we can all do some reflection there. The other piece to this is, and you know, some of you might be listening saying, you know, maybe we should, why are we talking about like our childhood, where most of us are in midlife, 40s, 50s, some 60s, even a little older. So where, like, why now? Why are we opening up this can of worms now? And to that, I would say, and this weighs on me too, not so much in my personal life, but just when I think about different people that I know, is that just like, we're not getting any younger. Our parents aren't getting any younger. And I think for me, the worst thing would be to lose one of them and have things left unsaid or left with unforgiveness in my heart or whatever it is. Not that you can't forgive at any time, because once again, we said a lot of times the forgiveness is going to come just by you letting go and forgiving and nothing back from them. Or no, this is the thing that was, you know, can be really hard. That was hard for me, is that sometimes you have to forgive and you don't get the closure you were looking for. You don't get to have the conversation that you wanted or the closure with it, but you choose to forgive and let go anyway. So I guess you could do that post, if something does happen to your parents, but wouldn't it be nice to be able to heal and to be able to forgive and maybe make some amends and have some sort of a relationship before something happens and it's too late?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can speak from experience with that. And that is, I am in that exact situation where I lost my dad, and there were just things that I would have liked to say, talk about, discuss with him. And, two strikes against me doing that. One, obviously he's passed, but the other one was he did not make that easy to do that. It was not our relationship to discuss personal things. It was, he was the parent and I was the child, and it was very much separate, right?
Yeah.
And that's how it was back then. So I have a choice, and I can, again, you can complain about that. Oh, I never had a relationship, a close relationship with my dad. No, I didn't. But I had an amazing role model who took care of his family and did the right thing always,
Made us laugh.
so made us laugh for sure. I mean, he was the life of the party. So again, choose to look at it, but to your point, absolutely. If there's a way, and I'm not going to say that I didn't try, but there were probably ways I could have gone about it too. There was a way. So never give up, I guess.
Yeah.
If you find that it's difficult to talk to your parent, keep listening to us, keep reading, keep asking friends about it. There's probably a way that you just haven't found yet to, or an angle to approach to approach that parent about that subject.
Yeah.
And usually it comes from a place of like mutual, like, I'm not coming at you. I want us to come together. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you called your mom that day, you weren't like, I want to apologize to you because you did, I did this and this, but you did that and that.
It wasn't
Never.
that.
It would never be that. And
No.
you would have ended, it possibly would
It
have
would have
been a
ended
fight.
very
Yeah.
not good.
Or
Yeah.
not good. Yeah.
Yeah. There would have been a fight, or it wouldn't have ended well. It not just because of my mom, just with anyone.
Of
Like, that's
course.
not the way that
That's
you want to
you
handle
don't
that,
approach
right?
them. Right.
But I think that we have a tendency to think that there's always going to be more time, right? And I fear that because this, the there is so much, and again, we talk about this too, but there's just so much focus in the world today about self-love and self-this and self, which we talk about. But also, I fear that we get so engaged on what's best for me, that we lose sight of things that we should, like we can wrap that in. It's not good for me to be involved with that person. They're toxic. I need to write them out. It's a form of self-love, right? It's a form of self-care to say no or to set boundaries and not let them in my life. I can see setting boundaries. Maybe there's some distance there. Maybe don't spend all your time, but I do think it's good to have this conversation to just maybe push anyone who's listening a little bit. Does that boundary have to be cutting them out of your life completely, particularly if it's a family member? Because they're your family for a reason, right? It's not, we don't get to choose our family.
Yep.
Sometimes that's unfortunate, but like, is there maybe something that you need to let go of or let yourself heal from? And
Yes. And I think there's probably a medium ground, because there's a, okay, I'm gonna over here, I'm gonna just, they're gonna stay in my life and they're gonna continue to do what they've been doing
I'm
to
not
me.
suggesting that.
No. And there's the other side where it's like, okay, I'm gonna write them out and they're just gone. And in the middle, it's, well, where are the boundaries that I can enforce? And that's where it becomes a maturity conversation, is how can I get enough growth to come to the place where I can enforce these boundaries so that I can still have a relationship, but it's on the terms that will continue to keep me feeling healthy. Like,
Yes.
I'm right. Whether
That's right.
that's maybe, you talk to them once a week or once a month versus every day or once a week,
Exactly. So there can there be boundaries without saying it's got to be a complete write-off? And this is the other thing too, is I think that we should think about here, because I've seen this play out in my own life without getting really specific about it. I'll just give you a kind of a generalization, and maybe some of you can relate. It's like, here's the thing. You're not going to change other people, likely.
And you can't control their behavior or
their
actions.
And you can't control their behavior or their actions. And a lot of times that's family members, and they can drive us nuts, right? Or they can push our buttons. And you can, you know, you can want to have the conversation that's going to change them, or want to get them to see things from your point of view so they'll be different or do different. And at the end of the day, very often that is not going to happen, because they're going to continue to be who they are. But guess what? And I can't remember who said this to me or where I read it, but it's so true, is that nobody has the power to make you feel less than or make you feel bad unless you give it to them. So I would ask you and challenge you that, can you get to a place, perhaps instead of writing somebody completely out of your life, can you get to a place where there can be some forgiveness on your end, even if it's not verbalized and even if it's not accepted or asked for on the other party's end? But can you get to a place where you can have some forgiveness in your own heart, some letting go and some choosing? And this is what I've done in my life, some choosing to see people for who they are, accept and focus on all the really good qualities that they have, let go of trying to make them different or wish they were different, know that the things that they do that are going to bother you, but not allow those things to hurt you. Can you get to a place where you can have them in your life, and maybe not on a very regular basis, but enough to have a relationship and be able to, once again, let go of your past hurt, and healthy enough to see they're not going to change, but I also don't have to let the things that have bothered me in the past continue to bother me.
Right.
So I can love them for who they are. I can focus on the good things. I can accept them for who they are, and let go of the other stuff and not allow it to bother. Does that make sense? Did I verbalize that?
That
well?
Was well said. And that's such a great place to, I think, leave this conversation, because I think what you just did was give us a roadmap to help set those boundaries.
Yeah. And it's not, that's taken me years upon years upon years. That's not, and I don't say it sounded like, maybe I think what I'm getting at is I may have made that sound simple. It's not easy.
No, because
it sounds simple, but
and
it's
I'm not, you know, aware of your, I mean, I'm not in your shoes. I'm not in your shoes, but what I was going to say is, you know, I can think about similar situations in my life where you have to get prepared for that person to push back, because they're not going to like that you set boundaries. They're not going to like that you've changed, that you have become a little bit more guarded with your heart, with your time, whatever it might be. And so also you're not allowing them to continue in their trajectory, right? So there's
sure.
pushback. So a second piece of that growth is, you know, you set the boundary, but then that's when you have to hold firm on that. And like you said, it's not easy, but
it's worth it.
It's worth it. And it's a great sign that you're growing.
Yes. And I want to say one more thing before we close out and share another little bit of a story, is that, you know, can we consider giving people second chances? And the reason that I say that is because in my husband's case, he was raised for the majority of his life by his mom. His dad, they divorced when he was maybe 3 or 4. And it's a long story that I don't need to get into. But what I'll say is, he, once again, most of his life, it was him and his mom. And when he and I were serious about getting married, right around when we were getting engaged, we were talking about important things like, do we want kids? How many kids do we want? Do we, just different things like that. And we knew we were going to be getting married. And he said, I'm not going to have my father at our wedding. And I said, are you sure that you want to do that? Because that's a big deal. Like, that's a really big deal. And he goes, no, I'm really certain that, like, that's what I want. It's going to be more comfortable for me if he's not there. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. I don't think he would. And I said, well, that's fine. That's your decision to make. And it's your relationship. And as we move forward and after we're married, and that's still going to be your decision. But I would caution you, when we have kids, to give that a second thought of how much you want him in your life and in our life, because now you're not just making decisions for yourself, but now you're making decisions for children that, you know, maybe have the right to know their grandfather. And it ended up that shortly after we got, he wasn't at our wedding, but shortly after we got married, we got pregnant with Anthony very soon. And when Anthony was born, he reached out to Ken because he had heard we've small town that Anthony was born. And anyway, he came to our house for the first, it was the first time I'd ever met him. And I don't know how long it had been since my husband had seen him, but thank God my
Oh,
husband
gosh.
took that step. Because he
He
is
is the
the
best
best
grandpa.
grandfather. He has not missed a birthday, and he doesn't live close to us. He travels. He has not missed a birthday. He has not missed,
He's really devoted.
I mean,
Oh.
he just, it was a second chance for him to get it right. And it was a second chance for my husband to have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
And it was a for our kids.
Yeah.
You know, and my husband's biggest thing was, I know how I felt going through that, and I want to protect my kids.
Perfect.
Like, I don't want him to be there and then be gone, and I want to prevent that. So this is like a heavy thing, and this is a really vulnerable, it's probably not my story to share, but I think that it's going to be maybe helpful for some people to hear that. You know,
You
it
know, and
hurts my heart
maybe,
to see how much we talk about just it's toxic and stop it.
yeah,
Like,
because people can change, is the
people
point.
can change.
They can, and we need to keep faith in people, and maybe they need more than two chances sometimes. And
And yes.
it's up to you how many chances you want to extend, but it comes back to putting yourself in similar shoes and extending some grace. Wherever we can, wherever it's healthy to do so.
And sometimes too,
Yeah.
like we just talked about in a prior episode, letting go of a little bit of pride too. Sometimes we have to just be the bigger person and take the step to open the door, even if it doesn't really fall on us, even if we were in no wrong in any way, or we don't think we were. You know what I'm saying? It's just,
I do.
anyway.
Good conversation.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. Let us know what you think about this conversation. I really hope I didn't. I would never be my intention. You know me well enough, Dr. Lynn, to ever hurt anyone's feelings. And we're both pretty privileged to, even though we've had whatever with our parents, you know, it could always be worse. So, at any rate, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us again today. Make sure you're following us on all of our feeds, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, what else? YouTube, if you prefer to watch instead of listen. And check out the website, www.lifeafterkids.com.
Yes. Here's to making our days ahead better than our days behind.
Thanks again for listening to Life After Kids. When you have a moment, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you liked our conversation, hit follow and share it with a friend. For more on Life After Kids, go to www.lifeafterkids.com. We'll be back every Sunday, and we hope you will too. Until next time.